independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
All of the prosecutors and agents involved in this case have come to the conclusion that insufficient evidence exists to charge either officer with a federal crime in connection with this incident.
It's U.S. Attorney Corey Amundson talking about the Alton Sterling death. You remember that last year? It was July 5th. There was a scuffle in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in front of a convenience store. Two police officers managed to wrestle a man to the ground. It was being filmed. He was shot and killed. They decided they didn't have enough evidence. They decided today there was not enough evidence to prosecute. And, you know, here's the thing, and this is what I try to tell people. You have to try to look at everything from all angles. And I'm not just talking about the angle of what potentially took place that night. I'm talking about the society angle. The societal angle, as you look around, you have to say, okay, understand that African-Americans, particularly in the South, have struggled and have suffered at the hands of racism, both systematic racism and institutional racism and individual racism. And while things have gotten a lot better, and they have gotten a lot better, there is still also a sense, too, that there is a divide when it comes to race. And they see something like this today. But I always preface that with, hold on a second. We've got to take every single issue and every single moment into account. It just can't be, well, because it's this, it's automatic racism. Or because it's that it's, you know, that this person's completely innocent. It was a tragic event. It was a horrible event. But there's always that one thing, too, that most attorneys will tell you, right? It's not what you know in life, baby. It's what you can prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
We must establish beyond a reasonable doubt that the officer's use of force was objectively unreasonable based on the circumstances at the time and based on their perceptions at the time.
And that's big. If you watch the video, and I've watched the video on numerous occasions when it's happened, and I watched the video a couple times again today. Remember, Alton Sterling, big dude, right? They know him as CD man in and around there. The cops come because there's some issues going on there, of which, by the way, the owner of the store, the convenience store where this took place, the Triple S Food Mart, said Alton was not the problem. He was not a troublemaker at that point and at that time. He was not a troublemaker. Police show up, a scuffle ensues, and there, you know, you hear somebody screaming, he's got a gun. And as I talked about at the time, who's got a gun? Who? Who's got a gun? Because if I'm an officer and I'm scuffling and I hear he's got a gun, I'm thinking he. Right? And you have to look at it like that. They don't know. Their perception is we're battling a guy and we're up against a guy who is pushing back on us and it's a fight and it's going, it's a big fight. Bigger dude, stronger dude. It's happening. Somebody screams he's got a gun, which, by the way, everybody admitted a few days before, because some of the CD guys around there who sell their CDs have been robbed, that Alton himself had been carrying a gun. The fact that he didn't have a gun, it's a Monday morning quarterback type situation, right? It's a Monday morning quarterback type situation. And life is at times tragic. And he was, he was a human being. And you look at the police officers, they have to live with what happened that day. But they too want to go home at night. I doubt they woke up in the morning, no matter what people inside certain communities think, and said, hey, you know what we're going to do tonight? We're going to kill a black guy. Oh, yeah, man, it's that time. Yesterday was July 4th. I was watching everybody firing off fireworks. I thought to myself, "Woo! After I have a couple dogs and burgers, I'm going to get a good night's sleep, and I'm going to go out and pop a cap in somebody's ass." No. Enough with that. That is crap. But people are upset in the community. People are hurt. Hopefully calmer, cooler feelings will prevail, because I'm sure there'll be a march. I'm sure there'll be a talk about this. And this is coming on the heels of, we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of, and I guess it's an anniversary And it's not really a celebration, but there is some celebrating. We'll talk about it throughout the rest of this week. The 25 years since the Rodney King incident, since that fateful night that ended up becoming 3 days of craziness in Los Angeles. And I've got stories about that that I'm going to regale with you, if you will. And because I worked in that. I worked in that. And we're going to talk about this. But, you know, he was still a human being. And you've got to come at it from that point of view. And if you're somebody who's an African-American, if you're somebody who's a black man in the South or a black woman in the South, and you think, hey, our life means nothing, you can understand why.
I suffered all day yesterday. I suffered. And what I heard today, the suffering still continues. So now that I know that it's not a civil matter anymore, now it's a human matter. Because Alton was human. He's no longer here, but his voice still will be heard through us.
That's his aunt Sandra Sterling. You know, he was a nephew. You know, I mean, they're human beings. And you got to look at it like that. And I think a lot of times we don't. You know, race in this culture, it got bad and it exploded, you know, 25 years ago. And it was ugly and it was horrible and it was pent up and it was just waiting for something to happen. And it exploded. And for 3-4 days in Los Angeles, it was a war zone. Then there was some conversation and there was real talk. And then all of a sudden there was real action and things started to take place. And then slowly but surely it starts to pent up again. And then we have an African-American in the White House. But that's still, we're still not dealing with issues. This will become an issue again. It will. And this isn't the last time. This isn't the last time. But see, when I say take everything and you look at stuff and you take it as it is, right? So this was a singular incident. This was one singular incident that took place. Also last year, there was another incident that took place. Walter Scott, a man who was wanted for unpaid child support, who ran from the police. And he was gunned down in the back. Well, yesterday, he got his justice, and I think so did his family.
Because today is a day of victory for Walter. We got justice. And I thank God for all of those that worked with us.
Michael Slager, the man who shot him in the back, the officer, pleaded guilty. Two separate incidents, very near each other. In the South, one of them, you look and you think, that is what it looks like when a crime is committed by an officer. That other thing that happened to Alton Sterling is two officers who feel that they're battling for their lives. And when you're not in that situation, that's why you have to take everything nowadays, not just as black and white, but look at it across the boards. Open up your mind. It's not always about race. But we make it that way because it's a great thing to talk about, right? Oh, my God, yeah, you kidding? It sells a narrative, whatever that narrative is. But Michael Slager pleaded guilty because he knew he was guilty. The other two thought they were doing the right thing, and they are human beings. And as human beings, they panicked in a situation because any human being would. If somebody yells, he's got a gun, he's got a gun. How about this? Run into a mall one day and just say, he's got a gun, he's got a gun. Who's got a gun? I don't know. Well, you'd be in trouble for that. Now imagine if you're fighting another human being and you don't know what that person has on them or doesn't have on them, and somebody screams, he has the gun. They don't say, hey, you have a gun, Steve. Hey, Marty, you've got a gun. They say, he. Well, there's two people fighting. Who are he? Well, you're a he and I'm a he. So I don't know who has a gun. I don't.
Michael Slager admitted what he did. That was enough years for me, because no matter how many years Michael Slager get, it would not bring back my son.
No. But justice was served there. Two separate cases, both involving an African-American man and white police officers. And I think the outcome in both was the right outcome. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, @Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. A couple polls up at Chad Benson Show. We'll get to those. We've got your urban word of the day. Colbert goes off the rails. Some people are saying so. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show, setting things straight.
Donald Trump, John Dickerson, is a fair-minded journalist and one of the most competent people who will ever walk into your office. And you treat him like that? Now, John Dickerson has way too much dignity to trade insults with the President of the United States to his face. But I, sir, am no John Dickerson.
Stephen Colbert, you know, people are upset. He went off the rails last night. And look, I sit here and I laugh because there's this boycott movement. We'll get to some of the worst things that he said here in a moment. And there's this boycott movement. I've never been about a boycott. I'm not a boycott movement kind of guy. It's not my thing. I don't care. And I was joking with somebody earlier. Said, "Well, I'm not going to watch the show." And I'm like, "You didn't watch the show anyways." So that doesn't matter. All these people who say they're going to boycott, they're all people who are conservative who never watched the Colbert Show anyway. So you're not boycotting. You saying I'm never going to a Yankee game again and having never been to a Yankee game doesn't mean you're a boycotter, right? You trying to get him fired is silly. Let the marketplace work itself out. Why do we always have to jump to the conclusion to get, you know, people fired? He's a comedian. Comedians say horrible things. You may not like him. Yeah, that's you. I don't care much for his show because I just don't find him to be funny. That's me. But people say stuff, right? They say stuff. And it's, look, I think that the office of the president deserves better respect than what he paid it last night. I really do. But this is what I don't want to hear from people on the right, which is what I hear all the time. Well, if they would have done that to Obama, I don't care. Obama's not here. And by the way, listen to talk radio for the last 8 years. You got 8 years worth right there. Now, mainstream media, maybe you didn't. But on the talk radio side, you did. And where you go to consume your news, you did. You want fairness. There is no fairness in this. So you just deal with it. But this is what a lot of people were talking about and kind of where he just, again, just kind of went off, old Stephen Colbert did on the Trumpster.
Mr. Trump, your presidency, I love your presidency. I call it disgrace the nation. You're not the POTUS, you're the BLOTUS. You're the glutton with the button. You're a regular gorge Washington. You're the presidents, but you're turning into a real pricktator. Sir, you attract more skinheads than free Rogaine. You have more people marching against you than cancer. You talk like a sign language gorilla who got hit in the head. In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster. Your presidential library.
Yes, and that's what he did say, the blank holster. You know, so don't watch it. Let it go. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't change your life. I think the president deserves better respect than that, but both sides give as good as they get. And yes, does the mainstream media have somewhat of a reach that's a bit bigger in a lot of ways? Yeah, but so who cares? Good God. People are like, are you going to address this? I'm like, yeah, for like 5 minutes. And then I don't care. I don't care. It's just so, wow. Did you, producer Phil, did you know that he was a leftist? Did you know that?
I also thought he was a comedian.
Yeah. It's not funny. That's my thing is I just don't care. He was not funny. But he's a comedian, though. A comedian, to me, he's not funny. To other people, he is. To the hipster world, he is. And by the way, he should thank his lucky stars and, dare I say, kiss a little ass to the president because of this president and because of his resurgence of his little character that he has done even more and more so over the last several months, he has gotten ratings now that is keeping him employed. He is not going the way of Conan O'Brien on The Tonight Show because of this president. Let's just point that out. So be careful when you bite the hand that feeds you there. Just throwing it out there. Hey, let's have some fun right now doing an urban word or phrase of the days.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you here. This may be Jack. Now, not so much with me, but with his mom. A little bit, because he is a rally around the baby. But I've known many kids like this. Little Emperor. A boy of any age who is an only child, is spoiled by his parents, and taught to believe he's superior to his peers when he's not. It's crazy. You can be spotted by their blatant mistreatment of females, relatives, girlfriends, and women in general because they feel they are valued by their parents more so than even girls, and they tend to be relying on their mother and father for constant emotional support. Now, Jack, not so much. I mean, he's a bit spoiled, I will give you that, but he's not a little emperor. I do call him the prince every once in a while. But every once in a while, I always remind him I'm the king, and that is something he needs to realize. And the king is the ruler, and the prince is still just the prince. So, but little emperor, I think we all know a few kids like that where everybody rallies around the child, and that child is almost godlike in a lot of ways. And I believe we have a little emperor in North Korea. So that there is your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Ah, the cranium stretching. There we go on this beautiful. We went with Waffle Wednesday today. And I think the reason for that is because producer Phil and I, we don't have Anthony. We're hoping Anthony is getting beaten up on a plane right now so we can make some money. But producer Phil and I have deducted that while wontons are good, nobody hates a waffle, right? Do you hate a waffle? You can't hate a waffle. It is just loving goodness. And a waffle can be a sweet treat, and at the same time, you can pretend to put, like, fruits on it and think, I'm doing something good for myself at this point in time. That's why it's got to be Waffle Wednesday, right? Tomorrow, of course, Tequila Thursday. Man, we take care of you here on the Chad Benson Show. We got stuff on Comey. I will touch on that. Healthcare is getting closer and closer. I'm going to touch on that as well. Illegal immigration, the real cost. Read a very interesting article in the Sacramento Bee. And it's another one of those articles where it just tells you enough about a story, but not the real juice of it all. All that straight ahead. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
That's not happening in Obamacare. Remember, over 1,000 counties in America have only one health insurer to choose from, a monopoly. And those people are getting cranked with high premium increases.
You know, everybody's like, man, did you see all the Comey stuff today? And I listened to some of it, and I watched some of it, obviously, and I read some of the transcripts. And I thought to myself, I don't really care. And it's because I don't care. Yeah, I mean, I care from a point of view as a personal, I'm interested in this stuff. But most people, by and large, they don't care. And I got an email earlier, because I do a show for Sacramento, and I got an email earlier from somebody who says, a day-to-day life is insignificant compared to global events. You are so partisan that you see no fault in Comey since your boy Trump won. And I laugh because, again, people try to pigeonhole you. By the way, this is how you know that you're doing this job successfully. When you get combating emails, one of them saying you're a raging liberal and the other one saying that you're boy Trump. You can't have it both ways, kids. Just showbiz, question mark? Not when Comey torpedo the Clinton campaign. We have a long memory. It's not just sour grapes, nor is the investigation of Trump's association talking to the Russians in 2016 and tonight simply sour grapes. And nobody cares about Jimmy Kimmel, the self-involved jerk that he is. And I just laughed my ass off because I struck a nerve because I thought to myself, and even before this, because I went and worked out today. And by the way, I was doing really well today. I gotta say that. I went and worked out today. And as I'm working out, I was talking to some people and I was asking them questions. And, you know, I'm like, what do you think of the hearings? And people just kind of look at you like, what? Because the truth is, most people can't pick James Comey out of a lineup. But most people, you listening do because you pay more attention. But the average human being doesn't. And by the way, even though you may listen, doesn't mean you recognize all these names. Doesn't mean you know exactly what they do. Doesn't mean any of those things. Sean Spicer is more popular than ever before because he's on Saturday Night Live parodied every week. Right? Kellyanne Conway is the same way. That's how a lot of people get their news and who these, some of these people are. Some people are laughing. They don't even know why they're laughing. But the healthcare vote matters because, you see, governments decided to get into our business even more than they're already into our business. That's important. And these guys and gals have jacked the pooch on more than a few occasions on both sides of the aisle when it comes to healthcare. The Democrats got us into this massive mess. The Republicans have continued to make a mess of trying to clean it up. The Democrats are sitting there laughing their asses off, all the while we're suffering because we're paying ridiculous deductibles. We're paying ridiculous premiums. We're paying ridiculous prices for all kinds of crap. And all they're doing is running around like it's a circus of follies. They better get it right. And it's maybe later tonight, but most likely tomorrow or Friday, they're going to have a vote on this. Now, it gets vote, then it goes to the Senate, then they fight about it. And remember, there's a lot more moderates in the Senate, so they're going to sit it back, and the conservatives are going to be angry because they're going to play with this thing. But will it or won't it? I don't know. But what I do know is when you talk to people and they're paying $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a month for premiums and their house payment is $1,200 a month or $1,500 a month, that's scary. People are over it. They want a fix. Don't bring me a problem anymore. Bring me a solution.
We're excited about this policy. We're making very good progress with our members, and our president has been instrumental in that.
He has. I think he has been instrumental. I think he's trying to do all he possibly can, as he should. He's the president. You're the great deal maker, right? The art of the deal. You're the man, the myth, the legend when it comes to making deals. Go make deals happen. But I try to tell everybody, what you're going to see get through, what you're going to see kicked back, what you're going to see eventually signed, I don't know what it's going to be. What I do know is we need more choice. What I do know is we need more competition. When it comes to those choice, meaning let's shop in different states, right? Let's open the market completely. That is something that is absolutely vital. We need to allow people to pool together so somebody who's a high risk, they can offset that risk and mitigate that risk by being able to pool together with many other people. Their strength in numbers, that brings the price down. It sounds simple, but it's not, because there's regulations and every state has their own insurance board and this, that, and the other. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It is going to take some work. But that's what you're there for. And you guys decided you wanted to be involved. So please get your head out of your ass and let's do the right thing.
The purpose of our bill is to get more choices, to lower prices, while preserving the protections for pre-existing conditions.
And that is going to be the sticking point. What is it going to look like? Right now, it's like, and the Republicans got to watch this, because even amongst a majority of Republican voters, they look at pre-existing conditions as, you know what, we got to find a way to keep this. We absolutely have to find a way. There are a lot of people out there who struggle and need the insurance. And you can't price them out of the market, which is the fear factor of a lot of people. And I understand that. You've got somebody who's on a fixed income, or you have somebody who is making enough to survive at this moment in time, and they're fortunate to have a pre-existing condition, but they've unfortunate to have a pre-existing condition, but fortunate enough to have enough money to pay with subsidies right now and survive, and all of a sudden you say, fine, we're going to keep pre-existing conditions, but wait a minute, we're going to hand out waivers to all of these states and the insurance companies, and they're going to allow you to decide, hey, you know what? You got a pre-existing condition. We're going to charge you $2,500 a month. And then he's like, I can't afford that. Well, hey, we offered. They said no. They said no. We offered the opportunity for pre-existing conditions. They said no. What do you do now? That's why pooling together and choice give us opportunities to do better things. And that's the that we have to have that. It is an absolute must. And if we're not going to do that, and again, what we'll see get through and what the Senate will kick around and then it'll get back up, what it's going to look like is just like with the tax. It's not going to look at first. What you see is not going to look like it at the end. And when you've got more moderates fighting, and I there's always laugh about when I heard people talk about like the, you know, well, he's a rhino or he's a this or she's a that or they're, you know, they're ultra true conservative Republicans and they're just Republicans and these and they're moderates. It's stupid. It is. You're an American. You're a politician. You're an American who happens to be a representative of people of your district, your state, the United States of America. That's what you are. You're not a moderate American. Well, I'm American sometimes, and sometimes I'm a moderate American. It depends on my Americanness that day, right? Like, nobody says that. Like, somebody plays for the Yankees, not a moderate Yankee. Well, over here, the real hardcore Yankees. These are just Yankee Yankees, and these are moderate Yankees. Sometimes they wear the Yankee uniform. Sometimes they just come to bat in T-shirts. This doesn't work that way. You're there. This, you're, you know, come on. Get your head out of your butt. I am always amazed at the insanity of the fact that we have to label everything. It's like me when I just got labeled in an email. But what matters to Americans is stuff like this. Whatever's going to happen with the Russia stuff is going to happen. I bet you we find nothing, nothing to see here, nothing of importance, and nothing that's going to get him impeached, as so many people think. Nothing. And here's the thing. This Comey thing is all about re-litigating and reliving the loss, because the Democrats are still scratching and looking for answers on why they lost when everybody's told them why they lost. Yet they're like, really? Really? You think that's why we lost? I'm going to say, yeah. No, it's not that. Wow. Are you sure? I don't think so. Nah, I think we should talk about it some more. That's what we're doing? It's crazy. But this is life. Life is the day-to-day stuff of us living, trying to get ahead a little bit further, trying to move ahead a little bit further, trying to push forward a little bit further, trying to separate ourselves from our expenses and what we make so we can enjoy more of what we have and live a little bit stress-free. That's it. Those things. You sleep well at night, regardless of what Comey did, right? You sleep well at night. For the left, this is a witch hunt. For the right, you know, they're going to leave him hang out to dry. This guy's stuck between a rock and a hard place in the political world. But you're stuck between a rock and a hard place because you're thinking to yourself, I got to make a car payment, but I also have to pay for my phone. I'm going to have to call my car company and tell them I'm going to make my payment a little bit later, and I'm going to make sure I pay my phone because I can't be without my phone. That's real rock and a hard place. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Let me know. Maybe I'm wrong. Is this super ultra important to you? I'm not saying it's not important. But what I'm saying is, in the overall scheme of things, of everyday life, that human beings that you and I go through, from work and our family and our friendships and our business and all that stuff that we take care of, and trying to maybe build a career, trying to go back to school, making sure that our kid's sick, that we get him to the doctors or her to the doctors or whatever. Does this really play that big of an importance in your life? 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
If you like talk radio like Chad Benson likes his meals, you've come to the perfect place for takeout.
It's funny. The headline on CNN, Phil and I were talking about it just a second ago, was no charges in black man's death. His name's Alton Sterling. He didn't walk around and say, hey, I'm black man, right? Like, that's, no, he's Alton Sterling. But that's what I talk about when I talk about narratives in life, that they, like yesterday, the fact that the, you know, Walter Scott's killer, the police officer that shot him in the back while he was running away with nothing in his hands, he pleaded guilty, virtually nothing on it. Not, in fact, I say I'm probably one of the only national hosts or hosts locally, depending on, you know, if you're listening to me locally or nationally, that probably mentioned it at all. There's no narrative to it, right? There's a story, right? You got to have the story. The NFL players are pushing harder and harder, and I think in the next collective bargaining, they need to have this. They're worried. This is so real, and I agree 110%. You may not agree, but I'm okay if you don't agree. I really am. Let them smoke weed, all right? Let them smoke weed, please. You know, we are sitting here creating a bunch of addicted opioid people. That's what we're doing. We're handing them drugs. We're watching them for our amusement and for our fun. And you know, they're being paid handsomely for it, but there's a limited, you know, shelf life. But once it's over, their pain still continues, right? So they've got all that pain still there. And the addiction to the opioids is real, and we just allocated what $150 million for for opioid addiction in this brand new budget, right? And we're sitting there seeing these guys pop pills like my son eats Swedish fish. It's crazy, and we worry. And you know what? I will say this: there is a race component here. There is a race component. Right? If white guys smoked a bunch of weed and it was a more, you know, it was a very regular thing, even though they do, if they did that and it was a long, long, long time coming, building up over time, that it was something that was in an Americana kind of feel along the way, I don't think you'd have the same issues. Right? But there's a perception and a picture that's been painted about marijuana and weed, that it's just, you know, thugs and, you know, stoner kids who are in a basement all day. And that's the perception that they're going to have to fight to get, not only get it legal and to get the feds to decriminalize it, but also for the NFL and for NBA and everybody else. It's just ridiculous. It's stupid. But we're okay to create guys who are addicted to opioids. We're okay for that. Have you seen the commercial producer, Phil, for OIC?
No, I have
not. Opioid-induced constipation? So wait a minute. You get high and you can't poop? That's just something I don't want to hear. They got a pill for everything now. They do. Speaking of pills, the International Track Federation wants to basically go back and get rid of all the records. They're over. Because they... Here's the thing about track and field and all sports now, and this is something that is going to happen more and more, is athletes are 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead of the people that are chasing them, as far as, you know, they're the cheaters, but they're being chased by people that are running uphill in sand. Now, they're going to get there one day, right? They're going to get there one day, but when are they going to get there? And I was looking at this, and they want to basically get rid of half of the world records that have been set, because even though you set a world record today and you test negative, they keep a B sample, and in 5 or 10 years, they may test you and find out what you were on something, but you had something to mask it. And we couldn't figure that. So we're going to have to strip it away. Let's just get rid of the testing. Let's just get rid of it all, right? Let's give Lance Armstrong back all of his stuff, because he wasn't doing anything that anybody else was doing. Well, Chad, he was cheating. No, he leveled the playing field for himself. And on a level playing field, he kicked everybody's ass. Right? on a level playing field, he kicked everybody's butt. But enough. I don't care. I mean, let's be real. If you want to do that to your body because you're chasing money, I'll go to a baseball park and watch you hit a 900-foot home run. If you want to drag your knuckles and swing a baseball bat like it's a twig, and a guy wants to throw a ball 112 miles an hour, 115 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour, I don't care at this point in time. If I don't care if you're off. People say, well, that's cheating. It is what it is. Let's stop pretending that these guys aren't looking for an edge. When you're talking millions of dollars, damn it, I'm looking for an edge, right? I'm looking. Phil and I are looking for an edge every day. Why do you think we sent Anthony out there to fly around on airplane today and hopefully get his ass kicked? We're looking for an edge. Who do you think his first interview is going to be? Me. Everybody's looking for edge, people. How about we just level the playing field and say, all right, knock yourselves out. Then let's see what happens. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.